It's Monday, July 12th. I'm Oscar Ramirez in Los Angeles, and this is The Daily Dive. Richard Branson and his team at Virgin Galactic have successfully completed their trip to the edge of space, 53 miles above the Earth's surface. The aim of the mission was to kickstart a new space tourism industry and showcase the safety and security of the technology. Ginger Gibson, Deputy Washington Digital Editor at NBC News, joins us for this new billionaire space race and a look at how President Biden's agenda is faring in Washington, from early successes to what's up in the air and what has completely stalled out. Next, a story about a junior Microsoft engineer who figured out how to generate Xbox gift card codes and sell them for Bitcoin in a scheme that netted him over $10 million. The engineer worked in a department that tested the online infrastructure by generating codes and making purchases. The purchases didn't go through as they were only tests, but the gift card codes had real money associated with them. While the scheme was simple and successful, he left a lot of breadcrumbs that investigators used to catch him. Austin Carr, technology reporter at Bloomberg News, joins us for this $10 million gift card cheat. It's news without the noise. Let's dive in. Joining us now is Ginger Gibson, Deputy Washington Digital Editor at NBC News. Thanks for joining us, Ginger.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with some fun stuff. On Sunday, Richard Branson and his team at Virgin Galactic completed their successful space flight to the edge of space. They went 53 and a half miles out. This whole thing is aiming to kick off this kind of space tourism industry. Jeff Bezos is going to be doing this on July 20th, I believe. He's going a little further, 62 miles out. But it was a successful flight, trying to show off how it's going to be and the safety of it all as well.
This is the billionaire space race. And I guess there's some millionaires that are going to be also trying to fork some cash over to be next in this coming tourist industry.
Are we going to expect to see a lot of regulatory stuff around this? I know, you know, it's not a very political topic itself, but there's going to be a lot of business interest intertwined in all of this.
I think that really what we're going to see is government keeping a close eye. We sort of think it's funny, billionaires in space are maybe totally crazy. Who would want to have someone shoot them up into the sky that far? Dangerous, not the kind of thing I would want to do, but maybe like your Uncle Steve does. But I really think that the government's going to have two interests in watching this. The first is going to be safety. And as long as these flights continue to go off safely, I'd be surprised if we see too much government intervention beyond what we would see for the airline industry, because they'll be demonstrating a track record. And if they can demonstrate a track record of safety, government tends to stay out of it. But the other one is about security. And that's sort of the lesser considered one, but the ability to go into space, the ability to look down at the United States from space, who is going into space, is a real security issue for the United States. And so while that may not require as much direct intervention or direct rulemaking or regulation, the government is watching closely to make sure that there's not some type of security compromise by this new tourist industry.
Next, let's take a look at Joe Biden's agenda and how he's faring right now. It's kind of a mixed bag. The early success was passing that COVID-19 relief bill. They've also been pretty successful at starting the process of passing some judges, getting some new judges in there. That was something that President Trump was really successful at.
Great piece by Sahil Kapoor on NBCNews.com, really breaking down what Biden has accomplished so far in his first months in office. And you're right, he got that COVID-19 relief bill. He ran on that bill. He campaigned on getting more aid and bringing an end to the virus, the pandemic in the U.S. That was a success. I think that a lot of people would credit that and other steps with really mitigating the virus. I mean, I just left a shopping mall where I was around crowds of strangers and no one wearing masks. I mean, we really have come a long way in the time that Biden has been in office. And I think that the other piece that you mentioned is judges, and he's really starting to try to get more judges approved. This was something Trump was so successful at, really shaping the judicial system through those appointments. And there could be a very small window for Biden to get this done, because if Mitch McConnell takes over the Senate after the midterm elections, Republicans win seats, they're going to put up a fight, and they're not going to want to approve any more judges on the hope that they can get a Republican elected to president 2 years later.
As far as Biden's agenda, what's still up in the air? The infrastructure bill, there was a deal worked out, but the bill itself hasn't been written. So that still all needs to go through, and it's still going to be a tough sell to get everybody on board, it seems like.
That's right. We're still in the very tenuous state of that legislation. There was this deal. They have to get enough Republicans and keep enough Democrats on board. The president's going to have to put a lot of effort. And it's easy to say you like an idea or you like the shape of a deal, but really they're going to have to put it in writing, and all of the details that have to go into writing could really risk losing some support. So that's not done yet, and not quite close enough to count it as an accomplishment, even though they were able to strike that agreement.
Taxes is another one where it's kind of still up in the air. It seems like, you know, we've talked about this before, reconciliation might be the way to go to get President Biden's tax increases going.
So Biden has talked about raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans. That sort of floor had been set at people making more than $400,000 a year. They really want to make sure they aren't targeting anyone that would be considered middle class, particularly in the more expensive parts of the Northeast or on the coast. So a $400,000 and higher incomes, people facing new taxes. But this is very hard. Republicans, this is a red line for them. Yeah. They're not going to support anything that raises taxes. And so Biden would have to do it through reconciliation because he couldn't get Republican votes for it.
And finally, what's stalled out on all of this? Pretty much anything that needs 60 votes and that you can't do with reconciliation. So that's the $15 minimum wage, gun control, immigration, voting rights, even all of that's stalled out for now.
All of those other pieces of policy that don't have to do with taxing and spending, still in a very difficult position of getting done. There are pieces of things that could happen. So there was some bipartisan effort on police reform that continues to sort of simmer and might be able to happen. But you're right, anything that requires 60 votes, there's just no sign that there's going to be sweeping deals.
President Biden this past Thursday announced a little bit more about the troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. He said that we'll be out of there completely by August 31st. You know, he's been getting some flack for this. The Taliban has been making some territorial gains out there and fighting with Afghan security forces. So it's still a kind of a fluid situation there. But, you know, for the most part, we're out of there.
That's right. The U.S. is going to be completely withdrawn from Afghanistan. And it really is a monumental moment in U.S. foreign policy. We've been bogged down in Afghanistan for so long. The big question, the political question for Biden, is what happens next. And I think it's clear that Americans are done with Afghanistan. They don't want to send any more troops overseas, as Biden said. But as we've seen in previous iterations of foreign policy, a president can still pay a political price if, after they decide to withdraw from a war, the conditions there get worse. And so there's going to be a lot of sort of concern in this White House that Republicans are going to start criticizing Biden for what's happening on the ground after U.S. troops leave in the next month.
Ginger Gibson, Deputy Washington Digital Editor at NBC News, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And he actually went so far as to create an automated app to generate hundreds of thousands of these things just because it was too slow to generate them manually. He didn't want to generate a gift card one by one. He wanted to do them dozens, hundreds at a time. And that's what he did and was able to just keep generating them in the early part of 2018.
Joining us now is Austin Carr, technology reporter at Bloomberg News. Thanks for joining us, Austin.
Thanks for having me.
I kind of love these types of stories when people game the system, not because they're doing bad things, but just because of just getting caught in these situations where you figure something out and then you go like hell to cheat the system out of as much of it as you can. And this story is about a junior Microsoft engineer who figured out how to generate these gift card codes. You know, those 25 letters and numbers on the back of the gift cards, they're known as 5x5 codes. He figured out a way how to generate these codes. And then he was turning these around and selling them for real money. And he ended up cheating Microsoft out of $10 million, bought a fancy Tesla, bought a house on the lake, all sorts of stuff.
So Austin, help us walk through some of this and this crazy story.
Well, thanks for having me. And the first thing you really have to know is we all interact with these gift cards since, you know, if you're a customer of Starbucks or were a customer in the past of Blockbuster, you've probably seen these gift cards on the tall racks when you were checking out of CVS or at Target. And what we don't realize is these things correspond to a certain code, which has a prescribed value set. So if you buy a gift card from Applebee's or Domino's, or in this case, for Microsoft, Xbox, there's a code on the back which corresponds to a particular number that might be worth $20 or $100, anything that a relative might get you for Christmas or a birthday. And this engineer, his name is Vladimir Kvashuk, he had started at Microsoft in their retail group, and he was essentially testing how to work around the e-commerce infrastructure, trying to look for bugs, test improvements. And during that process, which we can talk about a little bit more in depth, he realized he could generate unlimited amounts of gift cards to the Microsoft online store. And as you noted, he ended up generating millions and millions of dollars worth of these things. But as we've all interacted with them, but we don't quite realize that gift cards have an inherent value and they can be redeemed for all types of goods, which is really the true crux of the scam he pulled off.
Right. He was working at Microsoft. He was making these test purchases, and he found out that when he generated those codes for these test purchases, they still had that real dollar value ascribed to them. So he started off small, as they all do, testing out the waters. But he moved on pretty quickly. In 2 years' time is when he got to this $10.1 million. And he had stolen more than 152,000 Xbox gift cards, these codes. So tell us a little more how he did it. What was the process to go through?
Essentially, as part of his job, he was looking for errors in payment systems on Microsoft's retail platform. So because he was an internal engineer at Microsoft, he was given a particular account that allowed him to play around with the online retail store and essentially make purchases. But they were all supposed to be fake. If he ordered, say, a computer or a laptop or a tablet or an Xbox video game console from the Microsoft retail website, the website knew he was an internal tester and it would let him complete the transaction, and it would know not to actually deliver the good. It just the product itself. It would know that he was just a tester and didn't actually deliver any of these products to his address. But as he was testing this, he realized that Microsoft was actually not putting in that same safeguard for digital purchases. So when he was buying digital gift cards, essentially those codes that are on the back of any physical card at retail, he realized they were actually emailed to him in receipts with real value. And so he could redeem them for real goods, whether that was a Lenovo laptop or a Sonos speaker or an NVIDIA graphics card. So essentially, he was able to generate unlimited amounts of this virtual currency and redeem it for any number of products. And so he actually, in the year late 2017, early 2018, started to realize that this vulnerability was available for him to exploit. And he decided to go for it for whatever reason. He just perhaps it was greed, or it was just too hard to avoid this sort of glaring, sort of stupid overlooked error, if you will. And what he did was start generating Xbox codes, gift cards, using his testing accounts that he got from Microsoft. And he actually went so far as to create an automated app to generate hundreds of thousands of these things, just because it was too slow to generate them manually. He didn't want to generate a gift card one by one. He wanted to do them dozens, hundreds at a time. And that's what he did, and was able to just keep generating them in the early part of 2018. And then the big quest was to sort of, how do you get that value out of the gift cards? You can't, you know, if you're redeeming 152,000 gift cards, that might be kind of slow. So how do you get rid of this stuff and actually get real cash from it?
There was already an online marketplace where you could trade gift cards for cryptocurrency. And this is where he went on. This is where he started. He met a few clients and then was really exchanging that cash.
There's actually a bunch of online platforms these days that exist to trade gift cards, often for cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Ethereum. So what Vladimir ended up doing, and all of this is pretty evident in documents of his internet traffic that government officials and investigators were later able to collect. And if you read the story, there's just fascinating sort of indications of what he was searching for at that time on his home computer. And one of those searches was how to sell gift cards for cryptocurrency. And he found a platform called Paxful.com, which he realized he could sell all these Xbox gift cards that he had collected for a huge discount, 55% off the retail price, and then was selling them for Bitcoin. And he was selling them at first in small increments. I think that's a pretty common thing among hackers or scam artists, anyone who doesn't have a history of sort of criminal behavior, to start small. And when you realize you can get away with it, to steal a little bit more. And as he was going on, his rates were so good, he was actually responsible for global fluctuations in the price of Xbox gift cards. He was reselling so many of these things that it was changing the reseller price in all these markets. And he ended up finding two clients that were willing to buy these things in bulk because they had a lot of Bitcoin and they were willing to sell it in exchange for Xbox gift cards. So some of these trades, I mean, they're worth tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars as he was going on through these platforms. And what's most fascinating is in the story, you can see all how the negotiations worked, how they interacted, where they were bartering over prices for these things. And it's just really fascinating to see how he's able to sort of launder these gift cards through cryptocurrency and then sell that crypto through different platforms in exchange for US dollars.
Okay, so let's move on then. How did they get wind of this? How did they find out that it was actually Volodymyr cheating Microsoft out of all this money here?
Well, actually, at the beginning, they didn't realize it was someone inside Microsoft. They had not realized it was an inside job. In February 2018, Microsoft's Fraud Investigation Strike Team, which is also known as FIST, they saw this massive spike in online purchases from their retail store using Xbox gift cards, which didn't make sense. It was about double the normal level. So either someone's grandmother was giving out a ton of these things prior to Christmas, or there was hackers getting involved. And their first theory was actually that, yeah, this must be an external bad actor. And they because a lot of the redemptions were happening abroad, and there was clues that led them to believe that this hacker was either based in Japan or Russia, they assumed it was an external bad actor. But after a while, they were able to track down some irregular activity to two internal test accounts assigned to Microsoft employees on the same team as Volodymyr. So they actually initially thought it was an external person, realized it was an inside job, but then had to go through the arduous, awkward process of figuring out which employee it might have been, literally on Microsoft's campus, that might have been stealing this stuff in the night. And it took a lot of investigative work, including by a detective on Microsoft's team who used to work for Scotland Yard and used to work for the London Metropolitan Police as a forensic investigator, to sort of track down through forensic evidence, meaning data that exists online, metadata that can be tracked from different computers, to sort of zero in on a primary suspect. And it ended up being this kid, Volodymyr, who was in his mid-20s, who became their prime suspect because he left sort of this trail of digital breadcrumbs online by not cleaning up his tracks enough.
They ended up firing him. Microsoft fired him. They were still continuing to investigate him. He still kept living that lavish lifestyle instead of, I don't know, taking the money you had and running and getting off the grid. When they finally caught up with him and raided his house, they found all of the evidence that they needed, including a list of set that was titled "How I Will Manage My Next $10 Million," you know, with a kind of a wish list of all the other things he wanted to buy and whatnot. In the end, I guess he's already been he's already went to trial and all this. What was he charged with, and what is his fate in the end?
So, you know, what was really fascinating about this is, for a computer hacker, their skills are really when it to sort of covering up their tracks digitally. And it is fascinating. You're right. When they raided, that Microsoft fired him in summer 2018, they referred the case to the DOJ, who started their own investigation and ended up raiding his home in middle of 2019, I believe. And what really came from that is, as much as he was good at covering his tracks online, he was horrifically bad at covering his tracks in person. Like you noted, he had that sort of smoking gun of a list of how he'd spend his next $10 million. He was, of course, living at that time in a $1.6 million lakefront home in Washington State. He bought an expensive Tesla. He was planning to buy a yacht, a seaplane. He was really living the good life. He's taking a lot of these vacations to Hawaii. And one of the prosecutors, after they found all this incriminating evidence, including USB drives filled with all these gift card codes, said that was the equivalent of raiding a robber's home and finding bags of stolen cash in the defendant's bedroom. And so there was just so much evidence by the time they raided their home that it went to trial in February 2020, right before the pandemic kicked off. And essentially what his defense came down to, Volodymyr's defense came down to, was that he didn't steal anything. anything because this wasn't technically real money. It was just gift cards. It was sort of hypothetic play money, sort of monopoly money. And a lot of the government's argument came down to, no, this is real money. You can't buy a Tesla with fake money. You can't buy a $1.6 million home with monopoly money. And it was just really fascinating to watch how he was trying to defend against these charges of fraud, identity theft, money laundering, and including filing false tax returns, because he left off, any future criminals out there, you must know that even stolen money, you have to report it to the IRS or they can get you.
Austin Carr, technology reporter at Bloomberg News, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much.
That's it for today. Join us on social media at Daily Dive Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. Leave us a comment, give us a rating, and tell us the stories that you're interested in. Follow us on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. This episode of The Daily Dive is produced by Victor Wright and engineered by Tony Sorrentino. I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this was your Daily Dive.